بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، نحمده ونسبحه ونقدسه، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأن سيدنا محمدًا عبده ورسوله أرسله بالهدى ودين الحق ليظهره على الدين كله. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك وترحم على محمد وآل محمد كأفضل ما صليت وسلمت وباركت وترحمت على إبراهيم وآل إبراهيم في العالمين، إنك حميد مجيد. وصل اللهم وسلم على خلفاء نبيك وأوصيائه وأهل بيته وأحبته، علي أمير المؤمنين وقائد الغر المحجلين، وعلى البضعة الطاهرة فاطمة الزهراء سيدة نساء العالمين، وعلى سبطي نبي الرحمة وسيدي شباب أهل الجنة الحسن والحسين عليهما السلام، وعلى علي بن الحسين ومحمد بن علي وجعفر بن محمد وموسى بن جعفر وعلي بن موسى ومحمد بن علي وعلي بن محمد والحسن بن علي والخلف الهادي المهدي، عجل الله تعالى فرجه وسهل مخرجه وجعلنا من أنصاره وأعوانه. عباد الله، أوصيكم وأوصي نفسي المذنبة المقصرة بتقوى الله ولزوم أمره. قال الله تبارك وتعالى في كتابه الكريم، أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم: والبلد الطيب يخرج نباته بإذن ربه، والذي خبث لا يخرج إلا نكدا، كذلك نصرف الآيات لقوم يشكرون. صدق الله العلي العظيم. What is our biggest responsibility in this life? Our biggest responsibility in this life as parents, the number one responsibility, the most important responsibility, is to raise and nurture good children, good generation. This is your number one task that you have before anything else. You have to take care of your family, your sons and your daughters. Make them leaders. Because raising children, nurturing children, refining them and teaching them and educating them and supporting them and encouraging them determines their future. The future of children is determined when they are young. Either they build them and you make them leaders, or if they are abandoned by their parents, they become failures. Today you see in your community there is one child, one man, one woman is equal to 100 person. One person is equal. This is the wording of the Quran. God says about Ibrahim, إِنَّ إِبْرَاهِيمَ كَانَ أُمَّهُ. One person, one individual, he's equal to a nation. In his dreams, in his hard working, in his personality, in his achievement, in his direction. He's ummah. He's a big nation. He's not an individual. So you can create, make your son and your daughter ummah, a nation full of production, work, hope, or they could be failures, a burden on the parents, a burden on the family, and ultimately a burden on Islam and the society. This is your decision to make as a father and as a mother. Your decision. And God does not listen to the dua, to the prayers, if the prayers is not joined and coupled by work, by effort. وَأَنْ لَيْسَ لِلْإِنسَانِ. Insan does not get anything except what he works for. إِلَّا مَا سَعَى. إِلَّا مَا سَعَى. Some mothers, they pray for the success of their children, but empty prayers. They don't do anything practical. They just to pray. God says, I don't have time to listen to these empty prayers. I don't listen. I listen when you work too. Do your job and then ask me to help. But if you don't do your job, don't ask me. Don't waste your time. From my experience, what I am going to say, it's not from a book. From a book of my life, 57 years of my life, I'm going to give you my experience. These things are not written in a book. We have to teach our children and inspire them with the following things. I'm going to mention two things today and two things in the upcoming weeks, inshallah. Number one, our children need in this society, in America, Muslim children, Muslim sons and daughters, the new generation, what they need in this society is open-mindedness, infitah, a brain which is open, not narrow, open-mindedness. This is what we need today. Open-mindedness is not easy. It's not just God-given. Someone is born with open-mindedness, the other is born with narrow-mindedness. It comes with a training. It comes with an effort. It comes with an exercise. It comes with a heavy price. I have seen sometimes some people who graduated from Ivy League universities. They are surgeons, they are lawyers, they are physicians, they are engineers, but they are narrow-minded. When it comes to religion, they are narrow-minded. They don't have openness. They don't believe in diversity. They don't believe in multiplicity. They do not respect other people's opinions. They insist on their opinion. They are proud about their own opinion. And they are not ready to open up to other ideas. God says, I made nations and tribes and colors and languages and cultures, لِتَعَارَفُوا, to open up to others. The Prophet said to his companions that if there is knowledge, something useful, even if that is too far from you, in China, travel to China to seek it, to learn it, to get it. Even if other nations have it, go to them, open up to them, learn from them. Learn from others. Learn from other cultures. Learn from other religions too. We believe Islam is a good religion, but we still can learn from other religions how to fix the broken Islam that we have today, the broken practice of Islam, not Islam itself, the way we practice Islam. We can learn it from others. We can learn. So teach your children open-mindedness. Sometimes the problem of narrow-mindedness is found in the religious institutions, the religious establishment, Sunnis and Shias both. We have scholars who are very open-minded, very educated. They understand the needs and the sensitivities of their communities, of the Muslims, of people worldwide. And on the other hand, we have scholars who live in their rooms and they don't know what is happening next door, let alone in the next country or next continent or next culture. They don't know what is happening. A medical student came to me one day. He said, I went to a scholar. He mentioned his name. I'm not going to mention the name. So he said, he asked me, what do you do? I said, I study, I'm a student. He said, student of what? I said, I'm a student of medical school, Kulliyat al-Tib. He said, why do you study medicine? I said, what's wrong with it? He said, because you're going to commit haram. When you study medicine, you become a doctor, physician, then you're going to perform physical exam on people, and it is haram. This will entail illegal things, haram things. I said to him, but Mawlana, why don't you look at the other side of it? When I become a physician, I'm going to save the lives of the people. Those who are sick, those who are wounded, those who need help. I'm going to give them life, to give them hope, to give them remedy. Why don't you look at the bright side? Why do you look at the dark side of it? See, This is an example of someone who's narrow-minded. He doesn't have openness. The other one, another example, a person who is very popular in America, in North America, very popular person, many of you know him, I'm not going to mention his name. And he's a source of a pride for Shia Islam. I feel proud of him. I, myself, I'm proud of that person. Very popular. He came to visit one of the maraja, and he said to him, I have a question to ask Mawlana. He said, yeah, go ahead. He said, because of my position and my work and my career, sometimes I meet presidents, prime ministers, dignitaries, Muslims, Jews, Christians, atheists, Buddhists, whatever. Sometimes I have to shake hand. It's a courtesy, shaking hand. The Mawlana says to him, you have to quit your job. You are not allowed to shake hand. Quit your job. You know, it took him ages to get to this position. And we, the Shia, are proud of him. He's a voice. We have few voices. This is one of the few voices we have. The Mawlana tells him, quit your job because you can't shake hand. This is a disaster if you shake hand with a lady. Disaster. So rather than quitting his job, he quit the taqlid of that marja. He said to him, Mawlana, this type of Islam does not work for me. I'm sorry. So teach your children open-mindedness. Teach them. Teach them that we have to respect others. God did not create paradise only for Shia Muslims. Maybe we will arrive there and we say many nations and many cultures and many umam and shu'ub, they are before us. They ended in paradise before us. And we are the last one to be admitted. Who knows? I don't know. But I don't claim that God created paradise and Jannah only for the Shia Muslims who pray and fast. God is generous. And God knows His work. So we have to be open-minded. Teach your children not to be narrow-minded. Religion is only understood and appreciated through something called intelligence. If there is no intelligence in religion, it would render religion useless. Not just useless, but dangerous too. Intelligence and faith, they never separate. Indispensable. They are always together. We understand faith only through intelligence and aql. If you put aql aside, if you put common sense aside, religion becomes useless. So you teach your children infitah, open-mindedness. They have to understand religion. God says in the Quran, يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ أَن يُخَفِّفَ عَنْكُمْ. I created religion to lighten the burden for you, to lighten it, make it easy. يُخَفِّف, تَخْفِيف. This is in chapter 4, Surah An-Nisa. God says, I created religion, I introduced religion, I introduced faith, I want you to be faithful for one reason. يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ. Verily, God desires to lighten the burden for you. Not to make life miserable or difficult or complicated. يُخَفِّفَ عَنْكُمْ وَخُلِقَ الْإِنسَانُ ضَعِيفًا. For man is being created weak. One day I went to Canada, a lady came to me. She said, I have cancer, stage 4, breast cancer. I said, you did not detect that? She said, no, because my husband said, I'm not going to allow you to go to a doctor to get the mammogram. It's haram. Haram, even if she's a female, it's haram. So when we asked the husband, why did you do this? He said, I asked a representative of a marja in our town. And this is what he told me. Can you imagine? And now she has cancer, stage 4. This is not common sense. This is not what God wants you to do. This is not religion. This is superstition. Don't call it religion. Do not call it Islamic law. Call it an ignorant law, a tribal law, a backward law. This is not divine law. Divine law intends your happiness for you. felicity and happiness and success. يريد الله بكم اليسر ولا يريد بكم العسر. God intends for you every easiness, every happiness, every comfort. God wants you to be comfortable in your life. Religion was not intended to make your life more complicated. Religion is a solution, not a problem. So this is number one. Infitah, teach your children today. You have a chance in America. Maybe you don't have chance, this chance to teach them openness, open-mindedness elsewhere, but you have it in this country. In this country. Be the teacher of your children. The second thing, teach your children to stay away from radicalism and fanaticism. Teach your children to be moderate. وَكَذَلِكَ جَعَلْنَاكُمْ أُمَّةً وَسَطًا. We created you a nation moderate, in the middle, not extremist. In the middle. Teach your children, this is religion. Don't be extremist. Be proud of your faith. Be proud of your Shia Islam. Be proud of your imams. But don't belittle others. Don't attack others. Don't disdain others. Respect others. And take religion lightly. Don't be extremist in religion. Don't be like the one who came to the Prophet and said to him, Ya Rasulallah, do you pray 24/7? The Prophet said, how can I pray 24/7? I have family, I have children, I have things to do. I'm a leader, political leader. I created a state, I have to take care of. The man was angry with the Prophet because the Prophet does not pray 24/7. He left the mosque and he said, but I am going to pray 24/7. The Prophet said to him, good luck, barakallah. Go and pray 24/7. The other one came, he said, Ya Rasulullah, do you fast 12 months? The Prophet said, I can't do that. Sometimes I have to travel, sometimes people invite me for lunch, sometimes I go out of town, sometimes I'm working, I'm thirsty. I fast Ramadan, sometimes few days here and there, Rajab, Sha'ban. The man, look at the extremist. He said to the Prophet, but I am going to fast the entire 12 months. The Prophet said, Barakallah, good luck. Enjoy the fasting. Don't do that. Don't do that. Take religion lightly. Take religion lightly. Whenever radicalism, extremism enters any field in your life, whether business, whether family, whether friendship, whether relationships, whether religion, whether education, it is going to destroy your life. You're going to pay a heavy price. Today, some Muslim countries today are paying a heavy price for the extremist and extremism that they took and they nurtured and they helped and they subsidized. They are paying the price now. Stay away from extremism. Sometimes I go to Europe and I say in the streets of London, Paris, in Germany, in Austria, in other countries, some Muslim men and women, especially Muslim men wearing the dishdasha, a dress. This is dishdasha, this one. But short one. Mine is long, you know. But that one is like a miniskirt, you know. And with long beards, and they wear the kufis. And believe me, I, who is a Sayyid and wear a turban, I get terrified when I see them. I don't get close to them. What can I do? I can't help it. Imagine what the English, the Scottish, the French, the German would react. Who said this? When you go and ask him, no, this is Sunnah of the Prophet. Okay, the Sunnah of the Prophet was riding a camel. Why don't you ride a camel here? Why are you riding the metro, the subway, the airplane, the car? Why are you carrying the cell phone? Did the Prophet use iPhone? Smartphones? He didn't. Use his Sunnah then. This is because they don't understand religion. Narrow-mindedness is a disease. Does not allow you to understand the philosophy of religion. Philosophy of religion. Take it easy. When it comes to religion, take it easy. Don't do this. One of them was telling me, I want to help Islam with this dress. I said, no, if you want to help Islam, be nice to your wife. Don't scream at your wife. Don't disrespect your wife in public. Don't walk 5 meters, you know, ahead of your wife, and she's always, your wife and your children are behind you. This is the best way of serving Islam, protecting Islam. Because when you wear this dress, you are hurting Islam. My friends, I tell you a fact without diplomacy. Straightforward fact. I've been to so many countries. To many countries that I have been, one of them is Russia, one of them is China, India, other countries, Muslims are despised. People do not like them. Ordinary people, not the government. I speak to the people there. They don't like Muslims. Not because they read their book. None of them read the Quran. They judge Muslims by their appearance, by their behavior. Not by their book, not by their prophet. So those people are doing damage to Islam. Extremism is damaging to your religion, to your character, to your faith. I conclude with a story. Story of a lady who studied, she used to go to medical school in France. And many of you know that in France, a few years ago, they banned hijab. They banned hijab in universities and some of the places, not public places, but some of the institutions. So the school asked this lady not to wear hijab. Not to, if you want to, and she goes to medical school. It's not easy to quit medical school. So she did istifta, asking some scholars, what should I do? All the scholars, except one, answered her, you have to quit medical school and do something else. Except one scholar, may God bless his soul. He was from Lebanon, and he's with his Lord now. He said to her, don't quit your school. And don't take off the hijab. You have to wear a wig. And instead of your natural hair, go and buy a wig and wear it. Khalas. This is a solution. That lady says, this man, this noble marja, open-minded man, aqil, he's prudent. He has farsightedness. He did not imprison himself in his cell. He's open-minded. He saved my life. He saved my family when he gave me this solution. Allah says there are solutions. Use these solutions. Use your mind. Don't immediately say this is haram, this is forbidden, you can't do that. Don't do this. Don't do this. We are not living in the dark ages, middle ages. We are in the 21st century. We have to live with others. We have to live with others. Sometimes we used to live back home. We are 99% Muslims. We had no problem. But nowadays we are a minority. We live in America. We live in Canada. Our children have to integrate in this society. We should not create obstacles for them. We should not make them look at religion as something ugly. Something that always threatens them, intimidates them, and deprives them. This is not good. Teach your children to be moderate, to be flexible, not to be rigid. This is the message of Islam. So two things, my friends, this week, and two other things, inshallah, in the upcoming weeks. Number one, teach your children open-mindedness and to learn about others. Number two, teach them to be moderate also, not to be extremist. To take Islam in a beautiful way, in a helpful way. Islam came to help, to facilitate, not to destroy, not to make life tougher and more difficult for us. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Wal asri inna al-insana lafi khusrin illa alladhina amanu wa amilu s-salihat wa tawasaw bil-haqqi wa tawasaw bil-sabr wa sallallahu wa sallama ala sayyidina Muhammad wa ahli baytihi at-tayyibin at-tahirin. Oh.